All right, if you're here this morning, take your bulletin to the back side, please. We are going to do the unthinkable. We're going to read the entire text together. This sermon this morning should be a little shorter, so we're going to do what I think we ought to do. I am not going to assume that any of you read the book of Isaiah. I read a book this week that said this: the average American will not read one book this year. Well, if you don't read books, that means you also don't read the Bible, because the Bible is a book. All right, if you would like to stand, if you're unable to stand, you may be stay seated. For the rest of us, let's stand. We're going to read this together. And there are people that have difficulty standing. That's fine. I've been there recently. All right, I think you will understand why this is called the Suffering Servant. It is a poetry. Everyone look at me, please. This is the highest level poetry in the Bible. In this room, nobody reads Hebrew except me, and I'm not a scholar, but I want to be very clear. Any Hebrew scholar will tell you Psalms is number two with poetry. Isaiah is the great poet, and this is the greatest of all the poetry. And this is poetry. Think a song. Because it's constructed like a song. 15 stanzas, 3, 3, 3, 3, and 3. And it's constructed like this: here, 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 or if you prefer, you can say here, and then next, and then centered on the center of this. We're just going to look at each week, three of the verses. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee. His visage, his face, his features were so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So in this way shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him, the servant shall grow up before God, as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. No form means the external, and comeliness means beauty. There is nothing about Jesus to an unsaved man that is beautiful. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, most assuredly, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was, and this is a difficult line. I'm going to read it as it's here. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, cut off violently. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, plural, and with the rich, singular, in death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It can also be translated legitimately, it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. Makes no difference. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, meaning the Father, shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. A play on words. By his knowledge shall my just servant justify many. Or shall my righteous servant declare many righteous. Play on words there. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. This morning, we're going to look at the first three verses. I will look at the title when we pray, but my title this morning is My Servant. Identity, mystery, complexity, and really, and after that, simplicity. So identity, mystery, simplicity. We're going to talk about that this morning quickly. Father, thank you for this text. There are lines in this text that I believe in some ways are too sacred to read in public, because they strike at the very heart of what Jesus did for sinful, blasphemous, arrogant, self-preoccupied people who, as the text says, we even hid our face from him. But it's in this text that we learn who the suffering servant is and what the suffering servant has done for us. Father, I ask this morning, help me to share just the introduction to this fabulous text, the suffering servant. We ask your blessing and help now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My servant. That's the text. Two times in the text it calls the Lord Jesus my servant. Identity, mystery, yet simplicity. One man said this, I heard many years ago. He says, it's best never to meet your heroes. It's best never to meet your heroes. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think it's better to never have heroes that could never have existed in the format that we think they are. I was in Hebrew class many years ago. Dr. Bob Vasholz was the professor. He was a delightful man, good teacher. I love the guy. I always liked his classes. I had two or three classes in seminary by him. A great guy, great Christian, godly man, great sense of humor. And my favorite part, zero impressed with himself. So you just had great dialogue with him every day. Just a great guy. How does this happen? He told a story. Now, Dr. Vasholz, probably older than my parents, so he would be, if he's alive, and I don't know that he's alive, would be close to 100, probably. But a lovely man. One day in class, we're reading Ruth in Hebrew. I don't know why he brings it up. He brings up his hero from the movies. I'm not going to tell you the woman's name. But it was some woman that he just told. It was a delightful story. He said, I was, what do you call that? A crush? In love? In stupid? I don't know what you call it, but he was fixated by this particular woman. He said, I thought she was the most beautiful woman. I thought she was very, you know, I'm going to read what I wrote because he told this story and he did it in a nice way. He said, not only was she beautiful and the embodiment of beauty, she had humor, she had wit, and she was very sassy or saucy. I don't know the term you use. Otherwise, it was fun to be around her because you never knew what to expect. He was enamored with this lady. somehow he actually met the lady. Now, this was later in life. He met this actress. I wish I could remember exactly who it was. I think I remember, but I don't want you to go rabbit trail on who it was, because I'm not sure who it was. I can't remember. He says, I find in some weird way, has this ever happened to you? You just happened to cross somebody? Look at me, friends. My wife and I had to stay in Miami one time when we were going to Mexico. We had to stay an extra night, if you remember. And we had to stay in, it was a terrible, they put you up for free. And it was a deluxe hotel room about as big as the pulpit. You couldn't even put your suitcase between the wall and the bed. There was not enough room for it to go on its side there. It was beautiful, but you couldn't move. The next morning we got up, we did our business, and we went down to go back to check in. I'm going to go back to the story, by the way, in a minute. Three people ahead of me. Jim Duncan, you'll know this. I'm looking around. There's going to be two people that even know this person. Right in front of me, there was a guy bent way down, tying his shoe, and he stood up, and this was me. Touching distance is the greatest defensive player that's ever played in the NBA. Anybody want to guess? There's only one. By the way, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. Michael Jordan has how many rings? This guy has. There's only one guy, Bill Russell. I still remember him winding up. I'm like, honestly, I wanted to say something, shake his hand, but I couldn't speak. There's Bill Russell, like 3 feet from me. You say, what did you say? I looked there like a fool, and I just looked at him. Well, Bill Russell was not a disappointment, by the way, in that way. Well, he somehow met this actress, but not by seeking her out. He just ran into her like at an airport or some gathering or something. And I still remember his comment. He said, she wasn't as pretty as I thought she was in real life. He said, she also wasn't very smart. She also wasn't very clever or witty. And he says, I realized what made her beautiful was 3 hours of makeup. And what made her witty was the scriptwriters. She was actually a kind of an average-looking woman, and he says it just took the bubble out of my life. Now, friends, I tell you all of that for one reason. Today, we're going to meet the servant of the Lord, my servant, my righteous or just servant. And I think some of us are in for a surprise. I go back to what I said at the beginning. It's best to never meet your heroes, one man said. Better to never have the kind of heroes, by the way, that you have that impression of. All right, we'll move on to the text. What we're going to look at this morning is what I'm going to call a process of discovery. What this text says about the servant. In verse 13, we're introduced, behold. What does behold mean, by the way? I had somebody ask me that recently. They said, Pastor, why do you have those words behold in the Bible? What's it for? What, Jenny? Look, or what'd you say? It's like, stop! It's always stop first. And then he says, behold, slow down here and look. Who is this servant? So he says in the text, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, wisely works there too. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. If you're reading other versions, this is what you're going to find. I'll mention this in a minute. They're going to use different words. It makes no difference. All three words mean the same thing. Look at me. It's like he's going to be exalted. He's going to be extolled. He's going to be very high. I'll come back to that. This is laying it on. Behind me, you will see this. First discovery, the servant shall be exalted. Friend, the very introduction. You're going to see this at the beginning of this great song. You're going to see this at the end, is the concept of Christ being exalted above all and beyond all and higher than all. That's where we begin with his identity. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be, ESV leaves out a word, no idea why, mayo, very high. I mean, he's laying it layer upon layer when you get up here to lay it out. He's doing that. First discovery, the servant shall be exalted. Two ideas strike us very quickly in this text, if you're studying it and thinking about it. The first word is, what does it mean he shall deal prudently? Behind me, you will see the word, Hebrew word sakal, is a word that is about a 50-50 word. It means either to be wise or to be prudent, or I could say to act wisely or to act prudently, that concept. But it also, weirdly, about 50% of the time or a little more, means to prosper or be successful. So when the servant is introduced, it is stated, what's he like? Who is he? Well, this servant shall deal prudently, wisely. And because he acts wisely and prudently, he shall be successful. The same word, by the way, is found in 1 Samuel 18. I'm doing this from memory. It's used about four times of David. It says he acted wisely. It's also found in Joshua 1, verse 8, being successful, because the thing that we're introduced to at the beginning is this servant is going to be someone who acts wisely, prudently, and is therefore successful. That is the first thing. So he will act wisely, prudently, and therefore he shall prosper and be successful. We haven't yet defined what it means to be successful in the text, of course. That'll be in the future weeks. The second thing we see is this. Three words that are synonymous for being exalted. Three words. I don't need to give you the Hebrew words. None of us read Hebrew that well, but it's just the idea that you mean he just kind of keeps saying he's going to be exalted, he's going to be extolled, he's going to be very high. It is right at the beginning telling you something about the identity of this servant. To be wise, yes. To be prudent, yes. To be successful, yes. But he is also going to be exalted. And his exaltation is going to be not only exaltation, but the King James uses the word extolled, which is fine. And beyond that, he's going to be very high. So you have three words, synonymous words for being exalted. I say behind me, this is an exceptionally rare phenomenon. It is very rare that you ever hear three words in a row in the Bible. You see this in Isaiah 6 when he says, holy, holy, holy. Here he says the same thing three times to emphasize whoever the Messiah is, whoever this is talking about, which is the Messiah, which is Jesus, he shall be exalted. The idea of a stair step. Well, we find this, of course, in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says this, then cometh the end when he, the Son of God, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? By the way, this morning I'm out here having fellowship. Susan, where did you go? Susan's right here. Susan has a daughter-in-law with cancer. Yesterday, for 30 or so minutes, I talked to Dr. Marty Marriott. Now, friends, Dr. Marriott, this is what's happening. He's basically in bed now. Life is slipping away. By the way, that last enemy has not yet been destroyed. But let me say something to you. The Son of God will be exalted. He is going to deal prudently. He is going to deal wisely. And at the end of time and at the end of this process, he will be exalted and he will put down everything under him, even including death. Ephesians chapter 1, one of my favorite texts on this subject. and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. By the way, there's only one name that we're going to bow before. That's the Lord Jesus. I mean, he has a name above every name. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Friends, the servant shall be exalted. That's our first discovery. Now I'm going to read a text. Everyone look at me. The most important word in the text, I'm going to let you figure out. It's underlined. It's the first word. I'm not going to explain it, but if you've been a Christian over 15 minutes, you should get the connection as we go to point two in a minute. Philippians 2 verse 9, wherefore, that's the most important word. Why? Well, that comes before that, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. We're not going to read that now. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. By the way, that is the concept that we find in this text. The servant shall be exalted. By the way, I'm not going to be exalted. You're not going to be exalted. I'm not anything in the big picture of things. You're not anything in that sense. But there is one who will be exalted. That's the Lord Jesus. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Many men have noticed in this threefold, the concepts of Christ's resurrection was the first step. His ascension back to the Father was the second piece. His session at the right hand of the Father is the third piece. But it goes beyond that, because at the end of time, death itself will be done away. A new heavens and the new earth. Christ will still be exalted. He is the center. It's about him, not about me, not about you. It's about him. He's the one that stands above all. That's our first discovery. This servant shall be exalted. Isaiah 52, verse 14, please. But then the song changes, as it does throughout this entire song. You're like, we're talking about him dealing prudently, him being wise, him being successful. We're talking about him being exalted, extolled, and very high. And then all of a sudden, as many were, and we would say in modern English, astonished. This is an old spelling of it. As many were astonished at thee. What? His visage, the way his face looked, his body looked, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Our first discovery was the servant shall be exalted. Our second discovery is this. The servant also shall be humiliated. This very servant that every knee shall bow to, that every tongue shall confess. We have to put it together. It's going to be laid out in the. He's going to be also humiliated. It's one of the themes of this text. Oh my goodness. People are going to turn their face from him. People are going to despise him. People are going to hide their face from him. They don't want this piece of it. But this Messiah, this Jesus, this servant shall also be humiliated, friend. And let me just say this. Please look at me. I watch TikTok videos too much. Jamie Lowry is the cause of all of it. He sends me crazy stuff. I send him crazy stuff. Look at me. We got people all over America jumping up and down. Woo! We don't want to deal with the center of Christianity. Look at me, friends. The Son of God, who was very God of very gods, came to earth to be humiliated for you and me and our sin. That is this servant. This servant's not all about rejoicing. jumping up and down and having power. That's a fantasy. That's a lie. Because we'll get to it in a moment. The second discovery is the servant not only shall be exalted, but he also shall be humiliated. Wow. They were astonished. Huh? Why were they astonished? Well, I think it's real simple why they were astonished. They thought they knew his identity. He's this one that's going to act prudently and wisely and be successful. He's the one that will be exalted and extolled and be very high. But he's also the one that does what? Is humiliated. His visage is so marred more than any man. His farm more than the, what? What's going on here? Well, of course, they're astonished. That is the natural reply. We start with identity, by the way, the title, and we move to mystery. I mean, identity leads to mystery because there's something about this, a paradoxical, an antinomy. I mean, there's something about this that's like, wait a minute. I want Jesus. Look me in the eyes. I want Jesus. I want Jesus on my side. I want Jesus in my back pocket. I want Jesus crushing my enemies. And Jesus says, by the way, the song says, yes, he will be exalted. Yes, he will be extolled. Yes, he will be lifted up very higher than anybody. But that same one will be humbled, and humiliated, and beaten, and spit on. And by the way, look at me. Don't do any kind of religious nonsense about healing. This ain't about emotions, friend. Jesus has been spit on every day since he came to this earth. People reject the real Jesus. They want a macho Jesus. We'll come to this as we move forward in future weeks. My goodness, friend, this is a fabulous text, but it's part of the gospel. Notice what it says. His visage. What's his visage? How he looked. His appearance. You say, Pastor Warren, what does that mean exactly? And the answer is, well, we'll come to it in a moment. His form. By the way, the New Testament states this, but I want to say this as clearly as I can. It never embellishes on it. Look at me in the eyes. I used to hear a preacher preach. His name is not important. He constantly talked about Jesus being beaten with a cat of nine tails. He would describe the stones and the metal in the whip. None of that's in the Bible. The Bible states it and moves on. You say, why? Because this was the center of the humiliation where he was being humbled. Can you imagine the Son of God suffering at the hands of foolish men? He could destroy the whole world. By the way, he created the world. I think he could destroy it. If one angel could destroy 185,000 people in one night, and he had legions of angels, and he created the angels, my friend, this is part of his being humbled for our sins. If you want to turn in your Bible, would you look at that real quick? We're going to look at a text not in the notes. Look at Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. This is as close as any text in the Bible gets to describing what happened to Jesus. Now, I want to say this. Preachers are famous for making this stuff up. Did you hear me? And then you make the mistake of reading the Gospels and you don't find any of this. This is as close as it gets in the Bible to describing his farm being marred more than any man in his visage or his countenance and then his farm. More than the sons of men. Luke 18, verse 20, 31, please. And I'm going to say this. Most people are still about right here today. I'm going to tie this together, I hope, and it will bring you some resolution in your mind to this subject. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he, Jesus, took unto him the 12, you know, the people that he'd been training all these years, and said unto them, behold, stop, be quiet. Think, listen, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets, is Isaiah a prophet? All things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted. Can you imagine spitting upon the Lord? And they shall scourge him. Yes, that's brutal. And put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And his sayings was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. By the way, friend, we're introducing you to Isaiah, to the servant. The servant shall deal prudently, wisely. He shall be exalted, extolled, be very high. The same one shall also be humiliated, humbled, beaten to the place where, according to the text, you can barely tell who he is. So, at the heart of the gospel is the suffering servant. I say behind me, his visage, how he looked, his appearance, his form. Like I say, the New Testament never embellishes on all the gritty details. The Mel Gibson movie from many years ago. By the way, the number one problem with the Mel Gibson movie, look me in the eyes, was the Mel Gibson movie. It was about physical suffering. By the way, the great thing on the cross was not physical. Many men have died. The great thing on the cross was Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he became sin for you and me. That's the Holy of Holies, not physically beating somebody. I'm sorry to inform you, many people have been beaten to death. Doesn't make their suffering special. His suffering was unique because, number one, he could have stopped the merry-go-round that quick. He did this willingly. We'll look at that in future weeks. At the heart of the gospel is the suffering servant. Exaltation, yes, preceded by humiliation. The humiliation is how the servant gets to the exaltation. It's always through that process. By the way, how do you get to an accomplishment? We were wishing and happy for my friend Srijit. By the way, you don't become a doctor because you showed up. This young lady over here graduated from Lake Forest, and I'm very happy for her. She did excellent at CLC and there. By the way, it's always the humiliation before the exaltation. You don't understand the suffering servant until you understand he suffers. Seems to be obvious. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. I don't have time to discuss it except the one phrase. Friend, this is the most important thing that took the disciples a long time to figure out. Peter says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. But it was all through the Old Testament, pointing forward to the Messiah. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified before him, here it is, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Friends, that's Christianity right there. We all want a Savior. Yes, we want a Savior who always helps us, who destroys our enemies, who makes us rich and powerful, who always heals us right here, right now, who never allows problems, who eliminates all sufferings. But that's not the suffering servant of the Bible. The suffering servant of the Bible shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. But way before that, he is humbled. And by the way, if we follow him, we also will go through that same valley, not in the same way, but the same valley. Well, we come to the third and last discovery this morning. Verse 15. The first word is the only important word in the verse. If you miss this word, you miss the entire purpose of the text. So, in this way, thusly, shall he sprinkle many nations. Many people were astonished, but through his humiliation, guess what he's going to do? Sprinkle with what? His blood, so to speak. Metaphorically, not literally. He's not literally going to share his blood, but when he died on the cross, his blood was shed for many peoples, every people actually. It goes on to say, the king shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So, First discovery, the servant shall be exalted. Yes. Second discovery, the servant shall also be humiliated. We have moved from identity to kind of what? Mystery. Thirdly, the servant shall eventually be vindicated. And when I say vindicated, he'll be vindicated in all ways. But in this text, the primary vindication is his shed blood will be his very death that everybody so got disturbed by was the very source of all nations being sprinkled and salvation coming to all nations. So that's the third discovery. The servant shall eventually be vindicated. Exalted, yes, in the future. Humiliated, even more so. Ultimately vindicated. His success will be vindicated in that many nations will be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. In your notes, or behind me, excuse me, the word so. I got good news for you. You can't read the Hebrew, but everybody knows the word. It's the word kin. No, it's not the same word. It's not the name, but it's pronounced the same, kin. The word kin, if you guys are taking notes or thinking, is identical in Greek to John 3:16. For God, 99.9999% of Americans take that word so to mean, he just so loves me because I'm so... No, you're missing the point. It's not the word that. It's the word so meaning this. For God so loved, in this way, God loved the world. In that he what? By the way, he didn't love you because you're so special. I'm sorry. Or I'm special. He loved us in this way that he sent his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't misread words. In John 3:16, it's the same concept as found here. The word so shall he sprinkle means thus. Thus, this is the way he's going to sprinkle many nations. How? Through his humiliation. You see, we want just the exaltation, but it's through his being marred and being humiliated, being despised and suffering for our sins before God and suffering separation in some fashion from the Father. All of that. So, thusly, in this way, he's going to sprinkle many nations. Got the point? It's working forward. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And not only that, the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So simply means thus, thusly, just so, or in this way, just like John 3:16, for God in this way loved the world. How did he love the world? In that he gave his only begotten son. How do we know that Jesus will be victorious and be successful? It was through his humiliation. Thusly, from his humiliation, his death, his beating, his abandonment by the Father, all of that will lead to the servant being eventually vindicated. How does Jesus impact the many? How does he impact the many nations? Well, he doesn't do it through conquest. He doesn't do it through armies. He doesn't do it through power. He does it very simply through his humiliation. So my sermon title this morning is this, My Servant, Identity. Yes, he will deal prudently. Yes, he will be exalted, extolled, be very high. Humility, that's the mystery side. But wait a minute, he's going to be the most highly exalted, but he's going to suffer? Yes, the sufferings precede the glories that shall follow. One precedes the other. And the sufferings, so, thusly, the sufferings are the very way he impacts all nations on earth. Let me tell a quick story. I'm about done. I'm in Dimapur a couple weeks ago on a Saturday. It hasn't been two Saturdays. Has it? No. Or has it? Yeah, it's been two Saturdays. 2 weeks ago, I was in Dimapur, Nagaland, far northeast India, where the Indian people look like Filipinos. That's all you need to know. They're not, but they look like it. The guy I was with, I love the guy. He's a very good guy. He's one of the professors in the South. He said, would you like to go see the market? Do you guys like markets? Now, see, I'm a white guy. I love markets. We go to Mexico, we always make sure we go to the market. I'm not talking about Walmart, okay? I'm talking about a market where, you know, my favorite, Jenny, how many have we been to? Peru, we've been in Peru, Mexico, I've been in the Philippines. My favorite thing is you walk into this place and they're selling wrenches here. Right next door, they're selling fish. Right next door, they're selling clothing. Right next door, they're selling... He said, would you like to go to the market? I love markets. You should have been with me, Dada. You would have liked it more. He says, I'm going to show you what we eat. I finally know what's in Taco Bell. We walk in there and he says, we eat some things you probably don't. And I said, okay. Well, there were frogs. Okay, I'm okay with frogs. There were lots of little creatures and critters. None of that bothers me. I grew up on a farm. We ate squirrel, we ate groundhog, we ate rabbit. I mean, come on, that's, you say, do you eat the gob? No, I don't eat rats, but I can tell you this, I don't think they're a lot different probably than squirrels. Well, there were some things da-da different. I looked over there, and it was like, and there was this mound, and this mound was moving. And I realized it was a mound of slugs. You know, those white things that crawl out from under a rock. And they were selling them. And I'm like, I looked at him and said, he said, oh, yeah, they're quite good. Ade, I was thinking of you, buddy. And by the way, look at me. You say, why are you telling this story? Look at me in the eyes. Do you know how the Son of God reaches people? Not by conquering the people of Nagaland by military force. He conquers from his blood being shed, his humiliation. Thusly, he sprinkles many nations. The state of Nagaland has a higher percentage. You got to hear two things because you're not going to hear me. A higher percentage of Christians and Baptists than any place on earth. From American missionaries in the 1800s. You say, do they eat slugs? Yeah, he said, yeah, we eat slugs. We eat. Then I came up to another. Silkworms. Let silkworms do their business. I don't want to eat a silkworm. You say, can God save them? Look at me in the eyes. Folks, I grew up on the farm. You know, I love it when black people talk to me about chitlins. I come from German background, Byron. We didn't have chitlins. We didn't cut up the intestines. We cleaned the intestines both directions and put sausage in. It's the same kind of thing. By the way, people eat gross stuff. Can I say this to you? And our great God sent his son to be humiliated. And how is he going to be vindicated? By the very death he died. His shed blood is going to sprinkle people from every nation on earth. And I saw it with my eyes. You say, Pastor, can you be saved and eat slugs? I don't know. By the way, you say, what's the most common things about Germanic people? Sausages. You say, what's in sausage? Here's my recommendation. Don't ask. Don't ask. This guy down here, this Tejano always wants me to eat menudo. Now, I haven't yet braved myself enough to eat menudo, but pozole I can eat today if you want to get me some. What? Tripas. That's like the first time you see lengua. Tongue. You're hoping that tongue isn't moving. I better move on. We're going to be late because I'm telling dumb jokes. All right. In your note, let's look behind me, friend. Do you all get the point of this text? We start with his exaltation, his identity, but then there's a mystery. It's like, he's going to what? What's going to happen? And then his vindication is what? The very thing you're trying to avoid is the very source of our salvation. From that humiliation, he's going to sprinkle many nations. Revelation 5. I love this text. I'm just going to read this one for time. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. By the way, how does he sprinkle? Because he suffered and died for your sins and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, that's tribal group, tongue, language group, people, people group. Like you could be German or Germanic. There's lots of Germanic people groups. And nation, that's ethnic groups. And by the way, there'll be no exception. God reaches down and redeems people from all of those groups. He also makes us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Everyone look at me, please. We're going to stop here. Please look at me. This morning, three words, identity. Who's the servant? Well, he is the one, look at me in the eyes, that every knee shall bow. Can I say this? This is what I look for in people, whether they're saved or not. Have they bowed the knee, or are they still got a mouth talking? Blah, 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 blah. Because, by the way, it says here about the kings, they're going to shut up. Have you ever read that before in Romans 3? Every mouth shall be closed. By the way, this morning, come to Christ. Not some conquering king that makes you rich, but the one who came to suffer and die for you. He is the heart of Christianity, and through that, he sprinkles many nations. So in heaven, we're going to see people, Ade. I still remember, I don't know if it's true. I haven't had it yet, but Linda told me it's true. You eat termites in Cameroon. Termites. She says they're good. Very good. There we go. By the way, can I tell you, everybody grossed out there yet? Listen to me. I remember as a boy, my favorite part of food was when they cut the bone. It was that little piece of bone and the stuff inside. You say, that's gross. Look at me, friend. I eat out with Satish. He likes goat. Goat scares me. I don't know why goat scares me, but it does. Can I say this? He is going to sprinkle all groups of people with his blood, and that's how he's vindicated. The rest of the servant psalm is going to come back and forth to those three concepts. His exaltation, his humility, and his vindication. That is the introduction to the psalm. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this great text. Thank you for sending your son, not to be the great conqueror that has to destroy groups of people in order to win, but the great conqueror that came to give his life. Not, and yes, he conquers us. Oh, he changed, he conquers our will. We shut our mouth. We are astonished. We are sprinkled by the blood of Christ, and we join a host from every land, place, climate. Lord, it's so beautiful to think this is what your son came to do. And yes, he will be exalted. Yes, more so, he will be extolled. More so, he will be very high. And this morning, we bow before you and say, like the saints in the future in the book of Revelation, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.